Hello and welcome to episode 17 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Surveyor on the Budget. And I am joined tonight by my co-host, a man who is said to be so Scottish that his hero is Scotty from Star Trek and he has a poster of Ewan McGregor on his bedroom wall. It's Russ from Scotland Surveyor. Russ, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm very good. And I'm all out of blue tack.
You're all out of blue tack for all your Scottish posters. And a nice little Roddy Piper reference there as well. Another little Scottish slash Canadian reference, which is excellent to start off what is going to be a Scottish-themed podcast tonight. So
it is indeed.
Yeah, definitely. So I think what we could obviously first of all do, Russ, is we've got a short turnaround from our last podcast just being at the weekend there. So I think we'll briefly touch on some Surveyor news. Some basic Surveyor news. Obviously, one thing we neglected to mention was the community update last week. I was going to get your views on that, and then I remembered there was nothing to cover. So, but one big thing that's obviously happened in the last couple of days is the user interface having changed once again. And good luck finding some of your stuff these days. Hey, it's a bit of a treasure hunt to find your offers and stuff.
Yeah, it's... Obviously, it's all change again, and it's all change, obviously, to accommodate the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You can see, obviously, along that top bar that there's quite a lot of room for other sports as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I'm guessing is the plan. Doesn't look good particularly on mobile, I have to say. Had a few problems with logins. I've seen bits and bobs from sort of the social media community. A mixture of negatives and positives. You know, don't get me wrong, some of it looks really slick, etc. But having obviously worked in digital and been involved with some sort of blue chip clients and things like that myself, it does feel, and I think it was, is it Perez on Twitter,
yeah,
I think,
yeah, yeah.
That I was looking at, and I think he's a project manager or whatever in digital as well. And yeah, there's certainly a lot of things that haven't been debugged, and it's just not the handiest. I feel as though I'm clicking a lot more to try and find things.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. On the phone, it was actually quite buggy. I mean, I'm on Android, so I don't have the app or anything like that. But when I'm going into the menu, you know, you click the top corner to bring down the menu, and it wasn't even bringing up the market, play, club, anything. It was literally bringing up nothing. So you're logging out and logging back in, and it was still doing the same. But I found out if you actually click on football, all of a sudden you get your menu back. And it was really frustrating. And when you go into your, you know, you only have an option to click on club. So when you click on your club, you've then got your Hall of Fame, and then you're having to click in to get your cards. You can't just click my cards or anything. So the drop downs are not there. It's do you know what? This clearly hasn't been beta checked or anything, because it's dreadful. It's really bad. I can't think of a single positive. I know you just mentioned about it being a little bit, you know, looking quite slick. I think it's garbage. So it's a rollback, in my opinion. Let's roll it back and then put it in the right places, because this is dreadful. Really, really dreadful. You try to show somebody new, you know, here's where you go and find your offers. You shouldn't have to go through three menus to go and find that. You know, it should just be bang, there's your offers. You can go and have a look. I'm very much against it. It's not a nice setup at all, in my opinion. Obviously, the baseball did launch yesterday. I had a brief look at it. I've got my free team, and I could not tell you what any of the positions are, what they're doing. I know the pitcher. That's a lie. I could tell you the pitcher. That's the one that you hang on the wall, isn't it?
or it's
a picture of beer or whatever, I don't know. But yeah, I've got my team there, but I've absolutely no idea. So I just banged it in, and I have no intention of investing money in something I have genuinely no idea in. But if it brings new users to the platform, happy days.
I think we've got to kind of hope that there might be a bit of a crossover from the States.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm guessing from a marketing sort of perspective that that's what they're looking at. They're thinking, right, okay, we'll attract them with the baseball. And fingers crossed, some of them will click over into football and have a look and maybe have a slight sort of association with an MLS team.
Yeah.
And hopefully maybe get a little bit of crossover, a little bit of spend.
Yeah. Well, we're back in February when I was in Spain and I burnt my head. I went and bought a Yankees hat. So yeah. I do have a Yankees hat. I looked at a couple of the Yankees players and I'm guessing they must be halfway decent because the players were quite expensive. But I thought the prices were quite expensive for a lot of them. But again, it's the one of, do you know what I mean? It's the number one issue. So they tend to be more expensive when a new league comes out anyway, doesn't it? So
did you pick you've picked your free team, yeah?
I picked a free team because obviously you got a selection for one of the cards and then it gave you whatever else, but not a clue, mate. I couldn't even tell you any of the players I've got in it. I'd have to go and click and look at it, but even then I'd be just saying names to you. I'd be as well saying I've got Maggie Thatcher up front and you know, Neil Kinnock on the right. I don't know. I have no idea what any of these references have. So it's just words to me. So
I'm the same. I think my favourite baseball team would be the Baseball Furies from the film Warriors.
Wowzers, he's killing out references tonight.
A retro there, eh? Our friends are on second base and only half the way home. That's my baseball knowledge. And probably, I think at that point, I think we switch back quite nicely to the fact that we've given it a mention as being on the platform.
Yeah.
They've obviously updated, like you say, the UX to accommodate it. But, you know, let's not forget, we've got... How many registered users is it? 1.5 million?
Somewhere like that.
We're all soccer-based, surely.
Yeah, well there is that. It'd be interesting to see, actually. I wonder if you can actually get the stats to see how many new sign-ups there's actually been, roughly. Let's have a look here. Owners of a card, I mean, it has spiked. There's no two ways about it. Owners of at least one card is now sitting at 137,558.
Okay.
Going by Sareer data. Can't see how many signups there are and things like that because it's not coming up there. But yeah, do you know what? There's obviously is some new users coming into the platform and I think it will be good in the long run. But I'm certainly looking forward to a couple of things over the summer, one of which was the World League that's become a community thing through Sareer data. I think it was Dazzer that set the whole thing up.
Dazzer and Bob Flynn, I think, yeah.
Yeah, posted up. And I think they were only expected to maybe get about a dozen folk. Instead, they've got 120. So that's a little thing that's going to be quite interesting to follow on Sareer data and probably on, you know, the Twitter community over the next season, basically. I think it starts a week 294, I believe.
Yeah, so, it's certainly just coming up. I've set up I'm in League 10. So I think for anybody that's listening that's not seen it, I think they've run a couple of leagues, maybe last season, I think they had maybe a few leagues going. Mm-hmm. Would that be right?
Quite possibly. To be honest, I genuinely don't know. Because last season I was still finding my feet and only had, I didn't even play any, you know, like just the Sareer data leagues, because I just didn't have enough players to do it. Because I only had about, you know, 7 or 8 cards. They couldn't fill out an 11 man team. So I'm not 100% certain, but I'm in Division 4, which has been dubbed the Group of Death. It has some big hitters in this one, and I don't think there's really any weak players in it. So it should be quite interesting. I could see Scotty I could see the ball bag and his little icon there, and there's It should be quite interesting. So looking forward to seeing how that goes.
I'm in Division 10 and I've agreed to be the admin for it. Do you know what? I'm looking forward to it. I like, as you know, I do all these fantasy football league things and run them and stuff. So it kind of totally floats my boat to try and help out where I can. It'll just be interesting. I had a look and I thought, you know, obviously with it just, I was late to the party, hence ended up in Division 10. Mm-hmm. And it's a long way up. And I thought, oh, I'll go and have a look at some of the guys that have actually registered and, you know, taken the link and put their names in. And there's some, you know, there's some pretty big hitters in Division 10. You know, I looked at a couple of the accounts and, you know, there's like some of the guys have got like 300-400 cards. So it's going to be tough. But do you know what? It's something different. It's something good. Obviously, Sareer data being the original sort of source of information and help and, I suppose, sort of cross-platform for the game. I think it's really good. Obviously, it'll continue to drive traffic to their website, which I'm guessing from their own sort of commercialization perspective should be quite, you know, should be really positive for them, for numbers, if they decide to do things around it.
Yeah.
The only probably detriment, I don't know what your thoughts are, but does this kill off Sareer Mega?
I don't know. I mean, it's obviously Terrain Mega, obviously, kind of it pairs you up against a random, you know. So it might, rather than this one is going to be the, you know, the same people you're playing every, you know, as a league. Yeah. And I don't necessarily think so. But what it does probably show is a keenness for these kind of games to be available. And it might be something down the line that Serena might even look at to have, you know, a platform like that where, you know, there is, you know, you can register and join in and they put you into a random league and you're just playing it for 10 weeks or something, you know, and see who wins or whatever. You know, it's quite fun. I'm looking forward to it because this year, obviously, I've got more cards because obviously the limiteds and things like that. So it should be fun. And I'm looking forward to it. I was fortunate because obviously I kind of missed it in amongst the birth of the baby and things like that, you know, and just things going on. And I messaged Azard to say, is there any space left? And he says, actually, I've got you a space. I kind of allocated you one anyway. And I was like, well, thanks very much, because I was kind of fortunate. But and then I seen the league and I was like, fuck, thanks very much.
what about Sadir Bragg as well?
Yeah, do you know, that was one that I know we tried to start one and I just always forgot about it. It was low on my priorities, to be honest. And I think maybe being on the Serea data platform, which I use all day, every day, it's something that I would probably more inclined to remember.
Yeah.
Similar with, you know, Serea Mega. I always forget. I always forget because it's just not on my agenda as such. You know, it should be because I see the prizes people get. Mm-hmm. And I think now that the Europeans are back and I'd like to say I've got a lot stronger team than I've probably had, or a stronger gallery than I've had, I could probably pick three good players to fit into Serea Mega or eight or even the 11. Do you know what I mean? So I'm quite excited about it. I think it'll be quite fun. And it's just like I say, it's just a community thing. And I think it might open some eyes at Serea that there was such demand for something like this. And okay, yeah, you know what, in the grander scheme of things, it's not even a 1%, you know, of user base such, but of the active community, I think it'll be quite fun. And I think it's something that, you know, even if it becomes, obviously there's a DM group and things like that sitting there for each of the leagues and stuff like that. Yeah. I just look forward to it. I think it'll be fun. So a couple of weeks and that'll kick off. I think it is game week 294, it said on the thing, which is the week that all the, I think that's when Turkey and everything's back as well. So that's when all the leagues are back, I believe. So yeah, that should be decent. So
the only thing I would add, and I think I would like to see, would be the champions of each league go into like a champions league.
Why not?
I don't know. Obviously, if Dazzer or Bob listen to our pod, but certainly we can kind of point them in the direction that we've mentioned it and stuff. But I think that would be quite good. I think that would be quite interesting for, you know, Division 10 champion, whoever that may be, and against the Division 5 and 1 champion. You know, just based on the fact that it's kind of like an element of random allocation.
It is, yeah. I was just about to say that, because it is random allocation. It might well be something like, you know, similar to the way that the Scottish League Cup's getting done. You're coming out of the group stages and then you'll have your seeded ones, the ones that have got the highest wins and stuff like that could be the seeded ones, and they go in, buys, blah, blah, blah. So it's all things that could obviously maybe be looked at, but that would be probably quite fun, actually.
Do we meet in three seasons then? Do you get relegated three times and I get promoted three times?
Hope so. maybe six seasons. Maybe you never get promoted and I just get the vote.
Yes, well, boys.
All these Scottish cards going to fuck because we've got zero knowledge about football. So there's that. So speaking of Scottish football, Russ, shall we get into the meat and veg of the podcast today?
Absolutely.
Perfect. So what we thought was, obviously we mentioned it at the podcast at the weekend, back in episode 4, that still is our biggest podcast to date. It was where we had the most listens because it was the launch of the Scottish podcast and the Scottish League, sorry, and we were the Scottish podcast effectively. So we thought, give everybody at least, you know, a week and a half to get their teams ready for when the Scottish players are coming back, which is next weekend. So it's the weekend of the 30th. And yeah, so what we've done, we've gone back to the format that we had for episode 4, and we're going to go through team by team and look at their, you know, we've got two players for each team in terms of recommended players to go and have a look at, and then we've got a couple of players that are either breakthrough potentials or bargain players that, you know, we think have maybe got a low floor at the moment compared to where they should be. Before we go into that, Russ, we'll have a quick look at the strength of schedule thing that I did.
Yeah,
So I posted this up on Twitter. I'll post it onto the AVFTD pod Twitter. And basically what I did was I've gone through the first month of fixtures and I've allocated a point system against each game. So if you were playing Celtic, for example, they were top of the league, so that they've got 12 points allocated against them. So you, if you're playing them at home, it's a 12-point score against that one. All the way down to if you're playing St Johnstone at home, they were bottom. Actually, no, I've got Kilmarnock as the lowest scoring one because they just got promoted. So they've got 1 point for a home fixture against them. So there's a few things like that in there. And I just tallied it up to see who had the easiest fixtures going forward for the first month of the season. It's got quite a good bit of feedback. I've had a few DMs about it and things like that as well. Now, it's shown up that basically Motherwell have got the easiest quote-unquote fixtures for the opening month of the season. They've got they've only got two home games, but they're also playing, it's all bottom six teams from last season, and including the promoted team and the bottom of the league team. So they've got quite a soft set of fixtures, but they also have European football to qualify for. So you do kind of have to take that into consideration, I would suppose, wouldn't you? I mean, their main focus, would you think, Russ, is going to be trying to get through the next couple of rounds to try and qualify into Europe?
Well, with obviously with the European draws kind of coming out and three out of the five teams now knowing who they're playing, the money that's involved in European football is, you know, it's pretty transformational for clubs. So, yeah. you know, you're looking at, just purely for example, if Dundee United play, say, AZ Alkmaar, who are the favourites in their tie, but you just don't know what will happen. But say they play them, then you're looking at, you know, stadium like Tannadice packing out at maybe about 12,000 out of the sort of capacity, 30 quid a ticket. You know, there's the best part of like £350,000-£400,000 in sort of gate receipts and stuff. And, you know, you add that to any sort of television coverage, any additional sponsorship, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
That's a lot of money. So you've got to look and prioritise as a club that's trying to progress and think, well, if I can get this once and then I can get through a game by some miracle, you know, and don't get me wrong, for Dundee United, it's a massive, massive ask. But if you got through that and got the group stages,
yeah,
that's a multiplier. And that's why, as we both know, that's why Hearts have been able to splash the cash this summer, along with obviously their season tickets. They've done fantastically, you know, with their sell out there. But yeah, they've obviously got the group stages of the Conference League as their guarantee. And with that, you're looking at the money that's going to come into that club. And it's tricky because obviously trying to catch the sort of the gap between Rangers and Celtic, and obviously both being Glasgow teams with bigger stadiums and, you know, both with 40 to 50,000 season ticket holders each, the gap's never going to be bridged by any of the smaller city teams. But the gap pulling away from the Uniteds, the Aberdeens, the Hibs, the Motherwells, etc., for Hearts this season, that is a massive chance for them to really, what, probably maybe sort of like cement that third place. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I said on one of the other podcasts, and I'll say it when we do our predictions for the season, I actually think Hearts will close a gap on Rangers this season. Because I mean, obviously Rangers are still making transfer moves and things like that, but I still think that Hearts, with what they've done, if they can avoid the bogey teams, you know, they don't have a Dundee this season, as I mentioned. You know, we went to Tynecastle and actually got, you know, a victory and things like that. So if they can avoid the bogey teams, that's the problem for them. And they have taken points off the Old Firm in recent seasons, you know. They could definitely close the gap. When the season split happened after 33 games, Hearts were cemented as third place. They couldn't go up, they couldn't go down. They were third place when that happened last season. So that shows the gulf from where the teams below them already were and where they needed to get to. So it's a big gap. And obviously Rangers will have had prize money from getting through to the final of the conference and Conference League and things like that. So it's going to be interesting to see. I do think Hearts will close it. I don't think it'll be as big a gap. I don't think they'll overtake them necessarily, but if they did, I wouldn't be entirely shocked, if that makes sense. It's one of those that I don't foresee it happening, but I wouldn't be shocked if it did. But obviously, most of the teams have kind of bracketed in a fairly even schedule, you know, kind of from United down to probably Hearts are all fairly even. But then Kilmarnock have been hit with some ridiculous fixtures in their first three games. They've got Dundee United at home, Rangers away, Celtic at home. God, that's a harsh start to Premier League life again. Yes, St Johnstone and Ross County the same. Ross County have got Hearts away, Celtic at home, Rangers away. That's grim as well. So you're looking at some really tough fixtures. So when you are looking to buy some players, you might want to have a look. As I say, I'll put that up and you'll be able to see right away. If you're buying Ross County players, you might see some harsh scores on them over the course of the first month. I think that'd be fair to say.
Definitely.
And that might reflect in prices starting to dip a little bit on those ones. And then that might be when you want to buy in, because you can have a look at the next five fixtures. They're not maybe as hard, and, you know, cycle your team as such, because that's what we both did when we started last year.
I think there's a great trading opportunity, certainly for sort of a lot of the maybe sort of the British-based sort of Surrey players that are looking, and you know, they've maybe been trading Championship players last season, etc. And obviously now we've got all the Scottish players as well. There's a good chance and there's a good opportunity to trade in and out of players and try and make that, you know, 20 quid, 50 quid, 100 pounds here and there.
Definitely.
And it will be based, the whole game is based on player form. You know, I think I was looking at a replacement striker, as you know, just as an example, I sold Jackson Muleka.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a heartbreaker, but I made a lot of money on him. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, can't turn down making, you know, £500-£700 on a rare card, I don't think, too often. And I looked and I thought to myself, right, who else did I use last season? And one of the lads that I used was at Antwerp, Balakwisha. Now, Balakwisha had a run of form where he scored, I think it was 80-plus, four games in a row. Now, since then, obviously, he went off the boil and things, but I went and had a look, because obviously I had him before as well. And I bought him for £300 and sold him for just shy of £1,000. So I thought, well, what's this? You know, he's still only, I think he's only like 19 or 20. And I thought, well, what's to stop me just rebuying him with a third again? Because he's dropped. He's back down to, well, he's maybe not today, but certainly when I had a look at him last week, he dropped quite significantly again, because his scores are obviously showing, you know, much lower last five average.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's horses for courses, I guess. And, you know, I think we'll probably try, once the season's well and truly underway, keep sort of people abreast with who's doing well, who's not doing well weekly.
Absolutely. I think that's probably the way forward. And I've been requested, and I'll probably try and do it, is to update this schedule that I've done. When it comes to maybe, say, the last week in August, I'll run the same thing for September, but I'll use the live league as opposed to last season's one because, you know, although I mean, when we come to it, I still think the likes of St Johnstone are going to be rock bottom. I don't think they're going to be anywhere other than at that foot of the table. So you might well see that, you know, the points that I'll allocate against the game against them are probably not going to change much. I think they are probably one of the worst in the league, but we'll get to that as we go through, I guess. So, well, we start to slide into the players, Russ.
Absolutely. Let's just get going.
That sounded a wee bit sexual there, sliding into the players. Well, obviously, we'll go alphabetical. And do you want to... Will we chuck in transfer news at the same time, or you want to...
No, we'll just do that. We'll do that and then our actual full league predictions at the end.
Perfect. Sounds good. So we'll start with Aberdeen then. Obviously, alphabetical. It's the easy one. So do you want to go first? I'll give you the floor for your players, and then we could... Yeah.
Key players, I've gone for Ross McCrory.
Okay.
And Matty Kennedy. Both of, obviously, all the guys that we're about to recommend here have cards.
Yes.
Probably should state just briefly now that when the Scottish League does eventually roll out their new cards, both Chris and I will look and revisit and do this with all the new players as well, so that it's an updated version. But for now, this is just based on what you can buy on the market. So the two key players have gone for Ross McCrory and Matty Kennedy. Not to go to elaborate too much, but Matty Kennedy's been getting used in the League Cup. Aberdeen are a wee bit shorter, wide players. He's back from injury. I think he'll do quite well. Ross McCrory's plays obviously both right back, and he can play in the midfield. He's scored a couple of goals in the League Cup. He started the season quite positively, and obviously there's a few sort of big names have left Aberdeen with Ramsey and Ferguson going. I think it's a great opportunity for him to step up and not quite be the main man, but certainly be, you know, the one that's getting talked about. And my breakthrough players or bargain players, well, Conor Barron, that's not breaking news, but he's not the cheapest, but Conor Barron should have a sort of more breakthrough season where he plays pretty much the full season for Aberdeen. And I've gone for Vicente Vesuzian as my other breakthrough player. And again, he doesn't have an Aberdeen card, but he does have the Dutch card on him just now as well.
He does indeed. He does indeed. So would you like to hear mine, Ross?
Yeah, go for it.
Do you remember that game when you were a kid and it was the coloured pegs and you put them in? And if you had the right colours, it's like the way Wordle is now. You put the right colours in, you would get the wee white dots because you were like, oh, I got the right colours, but they're just not in the right places. That's precisely what this lineup is. So my two that I've recommended, Russ, to go and have a look at were Vicente Bisuin and Connor Barron were my two that I put in those. And my two potentials, because I think they're both undervalued, was Matty Kennedy and Ross McCrory. So 4 out of 4. This, and guys, we haven't discussed any of this beforehand. This is purely, I've been sat this afternoon. I actually did mine with my son, Christian. The two of us sat there this afternoon and went through every team and we picked these out together. So this is actually three opinions on these ones. I'll quickly give you my points that I put down on them. Bisuin, he's had 2 goals and an assist in the cup so far, 3 games. And granted, some of them are against lower leagues, but the last movement on him was £200, and that was back on the 11th of July, so there actually hasn't been any movement on him. I think the market was a lot more expensive for him. I'm not going to kind of dwell too much between the prices that they have recently sold for and the market prices, because there is going to be a disparity. There's not a full allocation of the cards, for starters, and also the prices are naturally going to increase as we reach the start of the season, Russ, aren't we?
Yeah,
so I don't think that's going to be any surprise. Conor Barron, I've sung his praises. He spent half the season last year at Kelty, came back to Aberdeen, actually had a pretty good run at them. And his rare card was sitting at £300 in auction just a couple of days ago. His limited card, though, that's taken a bit of a dip, £25 that's down to. And he did pick up an injury in their first pre-season friendly against Bucky, but he is back in training. I was sent pictures from Weaselmont to confirm that he is back in training. And so we're all part of the Conor Barron fan club. If you get your memberships out. Matty Kennedy, as you mentioned, obviously injury-riddled season last year. Coming back, and I think, as you say, Aberdeen have lost a couple of players again. 2 goals and an assist in the cup. And he was sitting, the last sale for him was £40.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little bit higher now in the market, but £40, I mean, a bargain, to be honest.
It's international utility.
Yeah, and I'd be surprised if you don't see him in my gallery before this podcast's on. Ross McCrory is in my gallery. As you mentioned, played out his position a lot last season. He is more of a midfielder. He's playing there, 2 goals and an assist. Hard to argue. And his rare card sitting at £95 and his limited sitting at £6. So I think both of those are pretty decent pickups, to be perfectly honest. So there we go. Four out of four we are, Russ. We just had them the wrong way around.
Yeah,
but that's happy days. So let's see if we can continue this. I have a feeling we're not going to, but Dundee United, you're famous, world famous, I believe. Dundee
We should probably also mention that we're Celtic and Rangers, we're just going to do at the end, just as a sort of brief overview. Yeah. It's a different price bracket for probably the majority of sort of listeners and things. But
that's true. In fact, do you want to just mention Celtic just now, Ross, if you've got them there? Because to be honest, I skipped them entirely.
Yeah, do you know what? I've got four names. So the two that if I was, you know, buying without limit, Callum McGregor, however, he's coming in at £1,500 at the moment, I think was the cheapest one for the Raiders. Yeah. That just, although Callum McGregor will probably play every game for Celtic, it just doesn't present value for me at £1,500. There's just, nope. I would be more inclined to buy 5 other midfielders for the same amount of money. Furuhashi, obvious, you know, if he goes on fire and stays injury free, but he's coming in about £1,000 for the Rare at the moment. But if you've got lots of money and you're listening in and you're not familiar with Scottish football, there's Furuhashi and McGregor would be pretty solid cards. I've actually got two guys that they played quite a bit of Lowland League football. So that's obviously the division under the Scottish Professional League, and Celtic and Rangers have got Colt teams in there. So I've gone for basically just two guys that might see some minutes and might break through. Dane Murray is coming in about £130 for the Rare. He actually played at the start of last season. He got a couple of games just at the start. Not sure if he's going to get any minutes or not, but you never know. And Owen Moffat is another card that's still in the books at Celtic. I think both those guys are contracted to 2024. Any Celtic supporters out there will probably, you know, certainly know a lot more about those players than me. However, there wasn't an awful lot of choice. Owen Moffat card coming in about £70. So that's all I've got in Celtic.
Yeah, I didn't bother. I honestly didn't bother because I don't feel there is value. I mean, yeah, if you've got 10 grand to go and buy Jota, Furuhashi, and all these different players. Have at it, guys. But it's not in my world, so I completely left it. Speaking of not in my world, Dundee United. I'll run through mine quickly because you just did your Celtic ones. One that I've mentioned almost every time was Ryan Edwards. Obviously, he's had a wee bit of a... There was a rumour, a very mild rumour, of Charlton were interested in him. Obviously, they're League One in England. It was rubbished by the United manager, saying there hadn't been any contact or word. And from what I've seen from the Charlton end, there hasn't been any contact, really, other than it being mentioned. So I'm not concerned about that one. Captain played all bar two games last season. His rare card sold for £163 today. And today being Wednesday. And his last 15 average was 49, so pretty solid there. £7 for his limited. The second one I've went for was Ian Harkes. I think we've mentioned him before. The video that they did for the launch was him scoring against Dundee. Son of John Harkes, I believe, Russ. I think that was your trivia note the last time. Signed a new one-year deal, so he's playing this season. Last 15 was only 45. But his rare card last sold for £126, which was 0.112. However, that was 4 days ago, and ETH has significantly risen since then. His limited card sold earlier today for £3.70. So that was fairly cheap. The two that I put were the potential for the breakouts or for the underpriced. Niskanen, the winger, Finnish winger, international as well. Last season, 1 goal, 5 assists. His last 15 average was fairly low, 37, but £70 was his rare price, and that was yesterday. And Scott McMahon was the other one, the only left back at the club, I believe, other than youths, from going by the details on transfer market anyway. But I expect he's, at the moment, because obviously Sporla left, he's probably going to get more of the game time, but it depends if there's more signings afoot. However, his card last sold for £26. So I think they're actually sitting about kind of 40, £50 on the market just now as well. So that was fairly cheap value. Because if he does get a run of fixtures, his price will probably increase if he has a few good games, Russ. So that was my United selections.
Well, we're not going 8 out of 8. That's the news.
Good. That'd be boring.
So that's good. That's probably good for the listeners rather than just, you guys are repeating yourselves. However, Ian Harkes was the first name down on my list today. Big fan, like you say, signed a new one-year deal, and he received the most man of the match, official man of the match awards last year for United. Good player, obviously good athlete, and he's, I think he'll probably weigh in with quite a few decisives, both goals and assists this season. So completely with you on that pick. My second pick for key player was exactly the same. It was Ryan Edwards. It would have been easy to put Dylan Levitt in there. However, the Dylan Levitt card is very expensive. I think it's maybe 4 figures now for the rare.
I was going to say that as well. I was going to include him just on the basis of his limited price. It's still pretty decent. If you're wanting a really good under 23, I would. It's more expensive, but it's a good price for that. But when you look at the rare cards, I can't honestly put in anything and say, other than maybe a goalkeeper, and say there's £1,000 card. I just can't do it.
Yeah. So I've gone Harkes and Ryan Edwards as my main. I've got breakthrough players. So Archie Mikkelsen finally seen quite a bit of game time last year. A lot of it was off the bench. I'm hoping he still continues. Obviously, with the younger players at any of the clubs, doesn't matter where the club's based, they're always at the risk of being loaned out before the deadline or anything like that, just to get them, constant game time. However, based on them being at United, Archie Mikkelsen is one that I think will hopefully get a little bit more minutes. The downside to that, although I'm thinking more for sort of making money on a trade or a profit rather than putting him, say, in an under-23 team every week, because he won't play every week. So, I don't want to say, buy Mikkelsen and put him in your 23s team and then you're getting like zeros and DNPs. So this is more for a flip or a trade. And the second one, I've only seen him play once, but young Miller Thompson, he came on against Celtic in the Cup and looked really lively. And I've seen quite a few of the sort of United training videos and things and stuff online, just on social media. And I think United have got quite high hopes for him. Whether he breaks through, obviously we've just signed sort of new forwards and new attacking players and things. But yeah, it would be good to see him. And he's got one of the the breakthrough cards, you know, the very first cards, the
rookie ones.
The rookie cards, yeah. I was forgetting. I just don't associate rookies with football.
No, it's a little bit different.
that's another story of thing that not okay.
I think I might have a rookie card coming into my gallery, but it's an Austrian one. But we'll see.
I thought you were just saying that's United.
Oh, that's United. Sorry. I thought we were going to get some other revelation about United there. But no, let's move on to a good team and let's look at Hearts, Russ. I've gone for, obviously, I think we might get close again here. So they've just signed Lauren Shanklin tonight. He's not on my list because that's just happened. So I'll leave that one for now. Alan Forrest, one that I kind of harped on about right back at the start. I still think that's going to be a great pickup. Signed from Livingston. Left-sided, I think Hearts are going to be a very attacking team this season. In a poorer Livingston team, he's still got 7 goals and 3 assists last season. Last 15 of 55, and his last card sold at £152. The market price is £220, so you might have a bit of negotiation there. The limited one, which I still think would have great use, is £750. So I think that's pretty decent value there. The next one, Stephen Kingsley. Now, he has had a fairly impressive pre-season. He scored 6 goals last season, and this season, pre-season, he scored 5. I shared one of them on Twitter because it was a fairly epic strike. He's listed as a left-back on Transfermarkt, but he predominantly played kind of mixture of that and centre-back, I would say. So last 15 of 53 and a last 40 of 51, so he's a fairly solid card. Now, the prices on him, I'm kind of going with the market one on this one, to be honest, Russ. And the market price is £250. His last sale price was £100, and that was 7 days ago. And since then, he's went on a wee bit of a rampage with his scores. So you probably struggle to get him lower than that sort of thing. I think you might get him closer to £200, maybe £150 to £200. His limited sitting at £14. The two that I think were potential for it definitely increasing, one, the first one's Craig Halkett. Centre-back, I think he's been coming back from injuries he had last season, hamstring issues, ankle issues, things like that. Last 15 score of 54. Now, if he can keep that up and, you know, get that, you know, pull that up to even closer to the 60s, his last sale was a few days ago and that was £133. Market's 200. So I think that card could definitely increase in price. Now, obviously, it's a bigger expense. The Hearts cards are going to have utility in Europe right the way through till Christmas. So you've got that. They might have it beyond that, depending on their draw. But you're going to have a lot of utility from the Hearts players there. And the last one and was a new signing was Alex Cochrane. He signed after being on loan last season from Brighton. Predominantly left back, left midfield, but he's also filled in at centre back there as well. With it being a fullback card, the price, the scores could be low, can't they, Russ? We know that. I think his last 15 is 40, but his last 5 is in the 50s. So there you go. It's the swings and roundabouts with fullbacks. Market price for his card is 170, but it just sold a few days ago for sub 100. So I think, again, pretty decent price. £13 for his limited, and he is under 23. So that was my heart selection, Russ.
Yeah, I've gone Alex Cochrane. I only picked 3, to be honest with you. Okay. Alex Cochrane was my bargain or my breakthrough. And like you say, I've got £170 and £175 as the last couple of listings or sales for him. The two players I've gone, Craig Halkett was one of my key players because Craig Halkett is, you know, he's essential. The sort of the Gordon Halkett, Herring, Boyce spine of that team right down the middle. Is really strong. So Craig Halkett, 100%. That should hopefully validate him as a good pickup for people.
I would say so.
And Peter Herring was the other one. I've seen just quite a few times last year watching some live games and things, and I think he's just a really good player. I think I've mentioned it a few times on social media on my Scotland Surrey and things when people have said, oh, you know, can you name a Hearts player and things? And he was the first name that I put down, and obviously he signed his new contract, so he's around for the campaign. So yeah, that's what I've got for Hearts.
I think it's solid. I think a lot of the Hearts cards are very solid. I think probably the best one isn't in the game, and that'd be Craig Gordon. But that one still baffles. But however, I think that if you're picking up Hearts cards, be prepared to pay a premium. But remember the extra utility you're getting for that premium. So it's, if you want to play midweeks, it's probably worth it. Hibs, their City rivals, who they play in week two of the season. I've went with my two that I feel are slightly underpriced. One I've been very impressed with in pre-season, and also having watched a couple of the cup games for Hibs, and that's Ewan Henderson. 22 years of age, so you've got under 23 utility. I wrote my notes, been excellent in pre-season, several goals in the cup, three games so far. He scored two goals and one assist. His goal against Bonnyrigg, now I know it's a lower league team, on for the fourth goal on Sunday was so well taken. He's played as an attacking midfielder. He's played left mid, left wing. He's played a mixture of them all. His last 15 is only 38. His last sale price was £90, which was 0.08. The market price on him just now is 170, though. I'm thinking about picking up his limited card because it's only sitting at 11 quid. The other one I've got, and this is purely because he's favoured by the new boss, and I think he's going to get a fair bit of game time, as he did last season, was Joe Newell. He seems to be favoured by the boss. He's started all the games so far in the cup. And again, two goals and an assist in that as well. Centre mid, last 15 of 45. He sold today in auction for £67, which was 0.05, which I think is really good value for somebody that you could probably look at playing week in, week out, and probably scoring you that solid 45 to 50 points if you're playing a threshold. So I think that's pretty decent. His limited card on that note was £2.80. So again, if you're looking for underdog and things like that, I mean, that's a bargain, especially now that underdog, you can use a common card in it. So you don't need a goalkeeper necessarily. So the potentials I've put in here, and again, this is because of a favoured by the manager, Christian Deutsch. And there was rumours of him going to Dundee United a few weeks ago. And Lee Johnson, the new Hibs manager, has played him in every cup game and he scored three goals in three games so far. Certainly seems to be favoured. His last 15 was only 31. He was predominantly used as a substitute for most of the end of last season. He was out injured as well, I think. But he sold today for £70, which is 0.055. So I think that is really good value for what could potentially be a starting striker, at least for the start of the season, until maybe Kevin Nisbet comes back in the turn of the year. But he certainly seems to be favoured by Lee Johnson. The other one was Elias Melkerson, 19 years of age. He has bulked up. I noticed that from watching the games as well. He was a bit slight. And he certainly has seemed to spend some time in the gym over the closed season. He's the one goal in the cup. I think it was two starts and a substitute. His last 15 was 34. His rare card sitting at 190 quid for the last sale. The market price is 340. So it's a big disparity between the two. And 20 quid for his limit. So I think not bad for those ones. And again, I think Hibs might be, you know, a fairly decent side this season, depending on how Lee Johnson gets them playing.
I've gone with the breakthrough guys as Ewan Henderson and Melkerson.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, both impressive, both young players. Both will get plenty of minutes this season. So, yeah, I can't actually see a negative to either of those players. I can't find a single negative. So, yeah, I think you can buy at ease that you will be able to either sell at profit or basically play with relative confidence that they'll at least see a score. I would say 95% of the sort of the games this season.
Yeah.
Two key players. The first key player I wrote down was Joe Newell. do you know what? Joe Newell, I think, unless he's, you know, suspended or injured, I can honestly see him being an ever-present. He's really holding their team together now. And like you say, Lee Johnson seems to be a big fan. I didn't have Christian Deutsch, you'd be glad to know. Obviously, with Dundee United signing Stephen Fletcher, those two are far too similar players for there to be any reason for United to sign Deutsch. If Jack Ross at Dundee United was to sign Christian Deutsch, I really would be scratching my head. I just can't see how you could play him and Fletcher together. I think he'll be fine at Hibs. However, the one I went with, and it is a waiting game, is Kevin Nisbet. Kevin Nisbet will be absolutely, you know, he'll be itching to get back in amongst the goals. He was in the Scotland squads. There's probably that added thing now with Nisbet and Shankland at Hibs and Hearts now for getting back into that Scotland squad. So there's going to be loads and loads of incentives for Kevin Nisbet. And I think he's 24 now. He's not that sort of young prospect player anymore. I think there's more an expectancy that he comes back and starts delivering lots of goals. Now, when Kevin Nisbet's been fit, Kevin Nisbet, apart from one, I think, one sort of spell of, I think, maybe 10 games or something like that, that was just totally unprecedented. Any other time he's scored goals at various levels in Scottish football.
Yeah.
But like you mentioned as well, Christian Doidge, just from my own sort of fantasy football league knowledge, he was a prolific scorer in English lower leagues as well. So yeah, I think either of those sort of Hibs strikers should certainly be handy for holding on to it and getting some good scores off of and hopefully making some money off of.
Superb. Well, all four of my picks are in the lineup tonight. It's just popped up on my phone, so there we go. Happy days. So we'll move on to Livingston, another Lothian-based team just along the road from Edinburgh. And they have a great shopping outlet. So if you go to the game and you're disappointed by a Livingston game, they've got the shopping outlet there, so happy days. So speaking of going shopping, I have four players for to have a look at, and the first two are the ones to worth having a look at, in my opinion. And they're, again, it's probably just based on the price. The first one was Scott Pittman, known as the Hitman in Livingston. 30 years of age, he has a forward card, but actually plays as an attacking midfielder. The reason I've included him is if you are looking for a threshold forward, you'll probably get some decent value in that because he's sub 100 quid. For somebody who's going to get a score every single week. And he does get some goals. You know, last season he had 2 goals and 4 assists. He's got 1 goal and 1 assist in the cup so far this season. Last 15 average 42. As I say, last sale was 80 quid a couple of days ago. The market price was 103. So for getting a forward card that's going to get a score against it every week, I think that's pretty decent. £2 for a limited. The next one was their captain, Nicky Devlin, 28 years of age. 1 goal, 1 assist in the cup as well. His goal at the weekend there was pretty well taken. I've seen that on social media. Predominantly plays as a right back, so you do have that right back penalty or the full back penalty there of the possession given away. Last 15 of 45, however, and he was sitting at 77 quid for recent sales, which is 0.06, and 4 quid for a limited. The two that I've got for kind of potentials. To be honest, it was a wee bit of a struggle because some of the players have, you know, there's been a bit of turnover and things like that. And I didn't want to include the likes of Bruce Anderson because the price is a bit higher and things. But I went with Jackson Fitzwater, centre-back. He's played all 3 cup games so far. Last 15 was only of 39, so that might hold his price back a little bit. Again, he was 77 quid for a recent sale, which for a centre-back that's playing every week, you know, that price could improve. £3 for his limited. The next one was a forward again, and that's Joel Newbley. Surprisingly, I included him. He's played all 3 cup games, started them all. He's got no goals, which continues his form from last season for Livingston. I think he played 16, had none, but he had 3 assists. I think with him potentially partnering Bruce Anderson, that might improve his decisives and things like that. But if you're looking for a player that the manager seems to like playing all the time, last 15 of 40, his price on the market, £70 for a starting striker. Again, it's going to be a threshold one. This isn't going to be a world beater. But you never know. He could get 3 or 4 goals in a 4 or 5 game period, and all of a sudden he's got a 59, 60 average, and people buy them because they just look at that. They don't look beyond it. So I think there's potential there to definitely increase on his current price. So that's why I included him. Your opinions, Russ?
Just expanded on Joel Newbley. Obviously, he was on loan at Arbroath last year and scored quite a few goals for them, which was obviously the league below. Now, obviously, Arbroath doesn't probably, to most people, sound too exciting. However, they actually had a probably unexpected championship challenge and were almost promoted to the Scottish top flight. And very certainly a lot of their sort of mid-season form was down to Joel Newbley playing so well for them and leading the line. So, yeah, solid card there, Chris. I actually had just before Livingston, I had actually had the fact that there were, I think there's 2 cards for Kilmarnock in the game, Alan Power and Liam Donnelly.
Yeah.
I've just got them as a token mention because Kilmarnock, obviously, being the promoted team, haven't been released. However, for anybody that's a Killy fan, Liam Donnelly, I think, might be quite a good card. And the other one, obviously, is Alan Power. But on to Livingston, for me, I've got the 2 key players. I've got Bruce Anderson, which is a little bit obvious, but he is their sort of main man for goals. Got double figures last season. He's a little bit injury prone, I would say, is the only slight doubt. If he hits a sort of purple patch, he will score goals. And when Livingston generally score a couple of goals, he's more often than not got one of them. The other card I've got as my key player was Jackson Fitzwater. He's been touted for international honours. He's actually been touted for Scotland. I'm not 100% sure. I don't think he was born in Scotland, but he's certainly been touted for getting a call-up for the Scotland national team. And the two, I've got breakthrough slash bargain players. Sean Kelly got a bit more minutes than I expected last season.
Yeah.
He actually scored quite well. I had the super rare card for a little while, and I sold it no problem for maybe about, I don't know, 1.5 times what I bought it for. But he actually got some really good scores last season, which was one of the things, and I only remember it because I had the blue. The other one I've got is Morgan Boys, who seemed to get quite a bit of game time. It seemed to be that him and Jackson Longridge, though, were kind of competing for the same sort of position in the team. So, again, might, if you can get these guys like cheap enough, and I'm talking maybe somewhere around about sort of £30, maybe £40 for the rares, then a couple of games you might be able to get £60 or £70 for a sale.
Yeah,
I'm not saying get these guys to, you know, I wouldn't go out myself and buy Livingston players for my team. However, for trading and flipping and making some cash to reinvest in other places, there might be some opportunities there. So that's my Livy lot.
Definitely. I think that's with a lot of these players, you know, it is going to be a case of you're either using them for a threshold team or you're, you know, like Russ says, you're using them to buy them cheap enough to flip them. So I think that's completely fair. On to Motherwell. And I've got my four here, and my first two are the ones to go and have a look at, the recommendation ones. Ricky Lamy, I think that's a fairly easy pick. Signed his new deal in the summer. He had actually signed pre-contract with Dundee, but because we got relegated, he signed a new contract at Motherwell. 29 years of age, last 15 of 46. His price recently was £72, £3 for a limit. I don't think that's bad value, especially if some of the conference games actually get scored. Blair Spittle was my second one. I joined from Ross County, a very creative player and actually pretty good at set pieces, as I remember from his time at Dundee United against Dundee. Mm-hmm. Scored a couple of fantastic free kicks against us. Does play as a wide player, and last 15 of 50. He sold today for £99 for his rare, and I think that's pretty good value. If he slides into Motherwell and starts taking set pieces, then, you know, that could definitely be something that's worth keeping an eye on there. My two potentials, again, this was probably more based around their price than anything else. I went with Dean Cornelius, broke into the team late on last season, centre mid, last 15 of 39. His recent sale price was £31, and the market's 65, so fair bit of disparity on that. £3 for his limited, under 23 as well. And Sean Goss, regular last season, centre mid, 46 for his last 15. His recent sale, which was actually over a week ago, was £48, which was 0.052 at the time. Shows you the difference in that alone. But the market price was £95 that he sat at just now, but it's still sub £100 for a card that you could put into a threshold team and be quite happy with, to be perfectly honest, and possibly get some European utility depending on their progress. So that was my Motherwell picks, Russ.
I've gone for the two young guys that I think will break through are Dean Cornelius. And the other one I've gone for is Ross Tierney, who was in a similar position. Yeah. Broke through. I think he scored a couple of goals at the tail end of sort of the last couple of months of the season. Those cards are relatively cheap. I don't think there's an awful lot to lose picking them up. The downside, again, don't be putting them in the under-23 teams to challenge at the top end of the leaderboard. These guys are more for, you know, flipping, I would say. But yeah, Cornelius and Tierney were my two breakthroughs. And the two main ones, I've gone for Liam Kelly, and I know it's an obvious one, but I still think he probably represents the best current Scottish League goalkeeper value.
Yep.
Just because he's just so guaranteed that if he stays fit and doesn't get suspended, he'll just play every game. So, yeah, Liam Kelly obviously is an obvious one. And you're probably the same as me, Chris. You probably get asked probably about 10 times a day now about Scottish goalkeepers and Max Strzyzek at Livingston.
Yep, yep.
And you know what? I think we've said a few times that I don't think Max Strzyzek will be at the club because I don't think he wants to be at Livingston anymore. And it was so much rumoured. So Yeah, for me, Liam Kelly, if you're wanting a keeper and you're listening to the pod and you're wanting a Scottish one, go for him, I would say. And my other one, Stephen O'Donnell, £50 for the rare. Seems to have a quite high base within the game. Obviously, he's a right back. He's probably, in fairness, certainly lost his starting spot in the Scotland national team. Whether he makes future squads or not, I don't know. We've got quite a few options there. Probably be an element of loyalty from Steve Clark where he, maybe makes another few. But certainly, when he's fit, he's essential to that Motherwell team. And he's arguably their best or one of their better, certainly one of their better players, probably along with likes of Slattery and Van Veen, who's had a few rumours, and that's why Van Veen didn't make probably both our lists with sort of Eredivisie rumours.
Yeah. I left him out just because I went and had a look at his price and it had gone up a wee bit. And I just thought, there is a few Motherwell players with some good value there. There is even some of the forward cards, even the Joe Effort card, still sub £100. And I still think you've got good value in that. If you're looking for a threshold card, if you're wanting to win prizes, you might need to go for a Van Veen and spend the extra money. But I think you could potentially still do something with Joe Effort. And the next one would have been Rangers. I haven't put it in because there are few cards and they're all extortionately expensive. So do you want to mention any, Russ?
I've just basically gone for, if you are looking for Rangers cards, these guys should score heavily. Rabbi Matondo is an obvious one. I think he scored last night against West Ham as well in the friendly. Yunus Hadji is due back, and I now know he's had a lot of rumours around moving leagues, but he's obviously should be back from injury. So that's probably the sort of the key player ones that I've got. And if he does remain at Rangers, I think he could be quite good. He can take a goal and he'll get an awful lot of assists as well if he's playing. The breakthrough card, I'm not 100% convinced on that, but if you are looking for Rangers one, James Sands still has another year or season on his loan as such. He actually played centre back yesterday for Rangers. So again, he's not made the impact that I know a lot of people sort of across the pond were thinking. James Sand, he's coming to Scotland, he's a way to walk it, he's a way to piss it, you would class it as, but he hasn't, like so many others have, and it's probably just the pace of the game and the culture and the way that we play football's just probably taken him a little bit by surprise. I would expect him, I think you'd probably agree, Chris, that I would expect him to do better this season than he did last.
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. I think we'll wait and see. I think there's better players at that club than James Sands. I'm sorry to our American listeners.
Yeah.
There was a few players came over. The only one that made any impact was Christian Ramirez for half a season. And I don't think, Chris Mueller went with his tail back between his legs back to the States and things like that. So it's a completely different game. It's far more physical than what you can watch the MLS and then watch the Scottish game. It's far more physical. And players just aren't used to that because, you will get somebody just going flying through somebody, and it's a completely different game. It's very physical compared to what they're probably used to. So, maybe just getting adapting to the game, but he wouldn't be on my radar. There's far better value for the money you'd be paying for him. Far better value.
So, I agree.
Speaking of value, I've got Ross County next, and few cards, because quite a few of the cards were loan cards, as we'd mentioned on the episode 4 launch, and a lot of their cards were loans. So the ones I've kind of picked, I have a funny feeling we're going to be pretty close on this, Russ, because it's Hobson's choice when it comes to Ross County cards. So let's go. Let's see. Ross Callaghan, is he on your list?
He is indeed,
There we go. Ross Callaghan, attacking mid, 28. As you mentioned previously, used to be on set pieces before Blair Spittle was taking a lot of them, so opportunity for him to get back on those. His last 15 was only 44, but they were in the top six and they did have some hard fixtures in those games. £51 he sold for on the market today, so that's great value for a card that's going to play every week.
Yeah, I agree,
and you'll get the decisives and things like that if he gets on the set pieces again. So Alex Iacovitti, I went with on your list, Russ.
That was mother key one, yeah.
There you go, 2 out of 2 we've gone for. Signed a new deal in the summer, last 15 of 47, centre back, and I think he's going to be key to them. And the last sale of him was almost a week ago, and that was £39. His price on the market was 55. And if you're looking for his limited, it was £1.70. Connor Randall, Russ, was on my potential slash breakthrough slash bargains.
See, I've not picked him, and the reason for that, and my reason for not picking him is I think his position is in jeopardy because Malky Mackay chased Johnson at Fleetwood for the best part of a year, and he plays right back. And I would think that Randall will start the season there, but I think at the earliest opportunity, I think it's Callum Johnson is the young lad's name. I think he'll take that slot.
I think at 39 quid, though, the risk is
there's not much risk.
That's why I included him in there. 39 quid, I don't think that's particularly risky as such. Jack Baldwin was my other one. Had played as their captain when, what's the old United players? Keith Watson, wasn't available. So
Silver Kisser, yeah.
Yes. Basically another regular centre-back. Last 15 of 41. And his last sale price, Russ, 30 quid. Again, hard to go wrong with a starter for 30 quid.
Yeah.
If you're looking to maybe, you know, if you've got a really tight budget and you're squeezing to get, obviously, to get your first rear goalkeeper and you're having to make sacrifices elsewhere, that could be an option. It's also 30 quid, a few good games and an average score going up to 48, 49, 50. Turn them over for 50 quid, you made 20 and you can go and invest in somebody better. That was why I included them, just because of the prices, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think you make a good point as well. If you are aiming you're saving up for a rare goalkeeper, one of the things to maybe bear in mind is rather than aiming maybe for a challenger keeper, you can aim for a global and you will get a keeper. You know, for example, Kim Hyun, I was pricing him today early and he was about 0.4. You know, whereas most of your challenger keepers at the moment are 0.8, 0.9, yeah. You know, 1/8 at the moment. So bear in mind that you can maybe put out a sort of an Asian or an MLS keeper in your global, but have the rest of your players for your interest as challenger or champion Europe cards.
Do you know what? It's a really good point because I actually seen it earlier on because I was having a nosy just to see if I could get an extra keeper and maybe throw another team in.
You love a nosy.
But Sugeno of Contadole, you're actually getting his rare card for 400 quid just now.
Yeah.
And you've still got half a season there. Do you know what I mean? You've still got 17 games. His age would count against that, but that's just an idea. You know, like, as you say, you could go and buy because the prices seem to have really, because people are selling these cards off to go and buy their European cards. A lot of people have left it too late. And that's when the prices, you can buy his limited card, Russ, for 30 quid. Mm-hmm. You can buy a limited goalkeeper for 30 quid. Now, that's maybe been impacted, with, as I mentioned, with the common cards being able to be used in Underdog. Mm-hmm. But it's just a one division, so it doesn't probably account for it all. So, yeah, that's definitely a good shout. You know, it's if you're wanting to do it on a budget, mm-hmm. that's maybe a way to do it.
I didn't have any more for Ross County, to be honest with you. I kind of looked and thought it was too slim a pickings, and I didn't want to just be naming names for the sake of it. I agree that the two that we... sort of the two that I had written down were the same as your two, and then obviously I do think Jack Baldwin is a fair shout because he will play on at St Johnstone.
Let's see if we can continue this. The two key ones, I've got a combined age of 69. So I've got Andy Considine, just signed from Aberdeen, seems to be getting the regular games under Callum Davidson. Last 15 of only 43. I think he only played one game, and that was for Aberdeen. His last sale price was £22, and his market price is 38. It's fairly low. St Johnstone are actually getting eliminated from the League Cup group to Annan Athletic. If anybody's heard of Annan Athletic, they're a small, very small club, and they are going to be going out the League Cup in their group stage, likely, to Annan Athletic. So St Johnstone are not on the best of starts to the season, as predicted. The other one I went with, Murray Davidson, signed a new one-year deal. Again, it's an aging squad there, to be perfectly honest. He is their captain. They've signed a few older players as well. Last 15 of 42, he has played in their cup games. His last sale yesterday was £24, Russ, and 90p if you want either of those as limited. The potential slash breakthrough slash bargain ones. One I've got in my gallery, I got it as a trade from Pavel. and that is Chris Kane. I still think when he comes back from his injury, he'll be, well, Callum Davidson said as much, he'll be their main striker and that they're going to use. He doesn't have a last 15 score because he was out at the end of the season. And last 40 of 39, his last sale price was a week ago at 30 quid, Russ. Market price was 75, and I think there's good value in that. I think there's, you know, I do think St. Johnstone will go down, but I think there's good value in that. He should be fit by September, is what Callum Davidson was saying. 77p for his limited. The other one, I had it written down anyway, and I had it in mind, was Theo Bear. He didn't get much time last season when he came over from the MLS. He's got two assists in the Cup so far. He's played all three games. However, he went off with an injury last night. A leg gash was how it was described, which, you know, I always like it when they use the term leg gash rather than just a cut leg. His price on the market, 70 quid for his last sale. He is probably going to miss two or three games if he's got to get stitches and that. So don't expect him to be setting the world alight. But an under 23 forward, if he does get a few decisives, you know, as he has done in the pre-season, in the League Cup, you could potentially, you know, turn that price a little bit up, you know, maybe into three figures. So that, again, that's the only reason I include them. St. Johnstone would be buyer beware. I said that at the end of last season when I was talking about them and Dundee. I just don't see anything other than a very hard season for St. Johnstone.
I have gone with David Wotherspoon, who's due back from injury. Sort of creative player for St. Johnstone. You'll probably pick him up. I think I looked, he was about like £25 or something at the moment. Yeah. Next to nothing. Very little risk there. You'll play probably, I would think, on the left or wide left or just behind strikers. He Canadian international. I don't think there's too much risk there. Again, I wouldn't go out of my way. I wouldn't, being honest, for my own team, I wouldn't be buying any St. Johnstone players, but based on the fact that we're recommending a couple from each club, I've gone Wotherspoon and Chris Kane, like you say, is the main striker there.
Yeah.
The two that I've thought that might do quite well in increasing in value, Dre Wright, who obviously was at Hibernian, and he's returned, and I would expect him, the fact that obviously Middleton's went back to Rangers, I would think that he will probably play wide right. For St. Johnstone, I would think he might play on both wings. But Dre Wright, I think, will do okay. I think he'll get plenty of game time, certainly, because I think he'll be one of their sort of more creative and better players. And the other one I've got is a total punt. There was a time that Charlie Gilmore was thought to be probably more of a prospect than Billy Gilmore. And that's when he was at Arsenal under-23s many moons ago. He went out to the Netherlands to, I think it was Telstar, if my memory serves me right, out on loan, and then he went to Norwich, and it's just not happened for him anywhere. However, he's still at St. Johnstone. He's still a relatively young man. By all accounts, I think he's a relatively technical sort of player. It's probably make or break season for him, actually. That's my kind of, he'll be cheap as chips. I've not even priced him. I'll be 100% honest. I've not even priced him on the market, but I don't think he'll be any sort of money. So that's my St. Johnstone lot.
Yeah, if you're buying St. Johnstone players, I'd sell them by Christmas. that would be my advice on that one. St. Mirren, final club. I will quickly rattle through. Declan Gallagher, I'll bet he's on your list because I believe you still got his blue card, Russ. New signing from Aberdeen. He's went there with assurances he's going to be playing. Last 15 of 41. His last sale was only a few days ago at 40 quid, and his market price was only 51. Mark O'Hara, one I've harped on about quite a few times. I do think he's going to be very good for them. He had a good pre-season. He's played all their cup games. He had a shock defeat last night, to be fair. His last sale was a week ago, and that was 54, but the market price is 78. I still think that represents pretty decent value for a threshold midfielder, to be perfectly honest. The two potentials. Now, one, I was surprised he's played all three games in the Cup so far because there was various rumours of him having a fallout with the manager, and that was Ethan Erahan. There was various rumours of him having a fallout with Stephen Robinson there. But he's played all three Cup games, so I've included him in there because he is under 23. 79 quid was his last sale price. His last 15 is only 35, so it was quite low. But again, that could be one that a few good games, a few good scores, his price goes up and you sell him. It's, you know, that's the way I'm looking at these ones there. And finally, Greg Kilty. was one that I put in there. Attack-minded player. He's played all three games in the Cup. However, he was red-carded after 33 minutes last night against Airdrieonians. Last 15 of 44. His last sale price on the the 17th was £51. Market price, 58. I still think that represents good value, Russ, to be honest. It's under 60 quid for what could potentially be a threshold midfielder. So that's my St Mirren lads.
I'll finish up with my four. I've gone as Declan Gallagher as one of the sort of bargain, not breakthrough obviously, but one of the sort of bargain players to pick up. Again, yep, like you say, he, I would think, will play. St Mirren were playing like a back three, and obviously they lost one of the back three who went to, I think it was Barnsley, Conor McCarthy went. So they'll still play, I would think, Shinessy, and they'll still play Marcus Fraser, and I think Declan Gallagher will slot in there as well. Like you, I've gone for Ethan as well as, probably I've gone through it for him as one of the breakthrough players.
Yeah.
The two that I've gone for as key players, Marcus Fraser and Eamon Brophy, so the Wolf. Brophy was quite unlucky with injury and things last season. He's not probably perceived as being the most prolific goal-scoring striker, but he's certainly involved, and I could see him, you know, if he doesn't score, there is a good chance that if St Mirren score, he might assist. Kind of maybe playing that sort of false nine or sort of target sort of role. But yeah, Brophy and Fraser, Erhon and Declan Gallagher, and that is me.
Fantastic. So that is a lot of players. We did agree on quite a lot of players there, Russ, which I suppose validates a lot of the opinions, although, as I've mentioned, we don't know anything about football, do we, according to old Polsky? But I think that's quite a selection to go and have a look at. Now, before we finish, have you got any transfer news, Russ, that you want to kind of, only been a few days, so there's probably not a heck of a lot.
Yeah, the only ones I've got Louis Lopez, also known as Duck, and Duck. I've seen that as DUK as opposed to D. Ah, right, okay. I've seen he joined, but I've checked and I don't think there seems to be a card for him.
No.
The ones with the cards, though, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, I've got 5. Obviously, Shankland, we mentioned, has just joined Hearts.
Yep.
Ben Davies was just at the end of the pod, was just confirming through for Rangers. So obviously, he's got a card in the game. Aaron McInniff has left Hearts for Perth Glory, so that's now a red cross on him.
Yep.
Moritz Gents has joined Celtic on loan from Lorient.
Yes.
And he's a card in the game. It's got quite pricey, though.
Yeah, and it was very cheap. And it's obviously rocketed up. I think the Shankland one's interesting. I've just had a DM from somebody asking about, will it affect Liam Boyce's game time? No. This is a replacement for Ellis Sims, I would say, yep. Russ.
No, definitely.
He was their on loan forward from Everton last season, played really well for them, went back, and I think Shankland is in there. And I think between Shankland and Boyce, one will be the 9 and one will be the 10.
100%. I would think that Boyce will just play behind Shankland and they'll feed off of Forrest and Mackay. And GMS, obviously, as well. So give
Mackay Stephen.
Yeah, so you've got the three wingers there that are all genuine wingers to supply them. And obviously, you'll probably look they'll just rotate the three of them. I think Josh Ginelli's maybe perhaps still there as well, which gives them another option. So they've got plenty of attacking options to cover fitness, suspension, and basically if something's not working, just to throw on new players. And Boyce and Shankland should feed off that all day long, I would think. The final one I've got, and I don't know if we missed this or not, but there's a Jamie McCart card in the game and he's at Rotherham. So Rotherham got promoted. So they will still be, they're in the English Championship. That card can still score goals, score points, beg your pardon. But yeah, that's all I've got for the Scottish news.
Happy days. Well, all I've got left was my league prediction, Russ. Have you got your league prediction at hand?
I've got a league prediction.
Okay.
And then I've got a challenge just to quickly finish.
Excellent. Excellent. Let's finish off with a bit of controversy. Let's piss off half the old firm and see where we go from here, Russ. So I will rattle through mine quickly, shall I? Or we'll see where
you go for it. You go
right,
for it.
Number champions, I don't see anything else other than Celtic. I don't see anything else other than Celtic. I see Rangers being second place. I see Hearts being closer to Rangers than they were last season. Just on the basis that, I mean, look what we just talked about. The goals are going to be there. And as you mentioned, the spine at the back, everything. I think that's a really, really strong team the Hearts have got there. Whether they've got the depth to carry that on, that's the other question. I've got fourth, and this is going to be where we definitely differ. I've got Aberdeen up at fourth. I've then got Hibs at fifth, because I think they're looking quite impressive. Sixth and seventh were, it could have been either way. I flipped a coin in the end, and I went Motherwell in sixth, and I went Dundee United in seventh. I would have had United further down, as I mentioned the last time, but I think they've made a good couple of signings, and I think that's definitely what they were missing, was their signings. I get their goalkeeper in, and I think they're really talking. Eighth, St Mirren. Again, the bottom three, this next three could actually have been alternated. St Mirren, then Livingston, then Kilmarnock. I think those three could finish any of those three places, but that's the order I've went. 11th, Ross County. I think they're going to be in for a tough season. I don't think they're going to pull off the same miracle they did last season. And St Johnstone don't have Dundee to save them this year. They should have went down last season. They were terrible. Unfortunately for us, we were worse. So I have St Johnstone being absolutely rock bottom. And I'll throw one thing in there as maybe a wild card. I think they might have the lowest points tally since Gretna.
Wow.
In the Premier League. They're going to be pish for our Scottish listeners. They're going to be pish.
Okay. Well, I think I've got five or six in agreement with you. So I've got Celtic as champions, and we're going to put this up on the Twitter at the end.
Yep.
Just so that you can see our predictions, and then you can slate us or rate us at a later point. Celtic as champions, Rangers in second, Hearts in third, my beloved Dundee United in fourth, Hibs in fifth, which I think we agreed on, Motherwell in sixth, I've got St Mirren seventh. I think they can be quite tricky to beat, and that's why I've at home, so that's why I've gone for them. Eighth, I've went for Livingston. Ninth, I've went for St Johnstone. I think they'll turn it around. So that's where we differ, which is fine. 10th, and I think just narrowly missing sort of both relegation and a playoff, I've gone for Aberdeen. They've had a big turnover of players. I'm not 100% convinced that it will all gel in place when it comes to not playing the likes of Stirling Albion. Apologies, because we've got some friends that are Aberdeen supporters that listen. So the guys like Weasel Mon and Cy Ferg and things like that. Apologies to those guys, but that's my prediction. 11th, I've gone Kilmarnock. I think it's just going to be a tough season for them, and I've got Ross County bottom. So there we go.
Okay, okay. It's a wild difference in Aberdeen. A wild difference in Aberdeen. I think they've recruited well. It's like you say, whether it gels quickly enough. But I don't see them having a season like last season. I don't see them being, you know, one or two bad results going the other way and they would have been in the playoff. I don't see it being that way this year. I think they'll actually have enough about them to get into that top four.
My prediction is that the two lads that they signed from Budapest,
mm-hmm.
There might be some issues over communication and language, and I'm not sure they're going to gel just as quite in season one as they hope. I also predict that Christian Ramirez will leave. My factoring behind it also was the fact that they've lost Gallagher. Bates seems to be down the pecking order now. Mm-hmm. They've lost Gallagher and Bates as a combination, and I know that didn't work every time for them last season by any account. They've lost Ferguson and Ramsey, and I just feel that for me, what they've replaced overall those players with, for me, and this is also based on the fact that I think they will lose Ramirez, isn't as strong. So that's me. I do like the look of the guy, Stuart, from Wickham. I think he'll be really good for them. And obviously, that's just a prediction. As far as clubs, you know, I've no hatred or whatever for any of the football clubs that I've just mentioned. My team's Dundee United, and that's the team I support. I'm not negative particularly on other ones. I don't care really about them. Mm-hmm. So, just leaves us basically, before we say goodbye, with a little challenge for you for next week.
Right, so we're going to set me a challenge for next week, Russ. Do you know one of the good things I liked about that was it's quite a wild disparity. And after agreeing on about 75% of the players there, I think I was pretty decent to have a wild disparity between where we think a team will finish. Yeah. That's interesting. So hit me up with a challenge.
Right, for next week,
mm-hmm.
I want a five-a-side team from you. So I want five names, and I want five players that are occupations.
Okay. Occupations, he says.
Yeah.
I mean, again, anything beats the porn star one.
Don't be going using Ben Bender.
No. We'll keep the porn stars out of this one. But yeah, no, thank you very much for everybody that's been listening. We apologize for last week's being delayed. There was nothing else we could do between newborns and holidays. So I had sleepless nights and Russ was sitting in a hot tub. So quite a disparity there too. So I don't have anything else to add this week, Russ, unless you've got anything there.
No, just thanks again, everyone, and we'll speak to you all again soon.
Absolutely. Everyone, take care. Good luck in your game weeks, and thanks for listening.